Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 185. In this episode, we don't judge enough, but we are not dreading this coming to Netflix, Judge Dredd.
We reviewed Pencilhead number one from Ted McKeever, talked about Steve Rogers making a new appearance in Marvel.
We talked about DC rebooting once again, sigh, and introduced a new segment called Bar Fights.
We also talked about the blow-up doll in the recording studio, Truck Stop Trixie. So sit back and relax and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 185, Bar Fights and Boob Tricks. She does with
I don't want to know.
Ask ass or grass, no one rides for free. Oh, she rides something.
It's not for free though.
I love that. That's been the name of her truck stop. Is that what is on the box down there? Okay,
yeah. It's Trixie with three X's.
Oh. I didn't know. I just thought you were just naming her that because it sounded kind of dirty.
Why does she not have the dirty flannel on?
And her Daisy Dukes.
She doesn't need those.
Because they're plastic and they get in the way.
Oh, God.
I think you should try and put these on, Tony.
Me, myself?
You should wear those. Fit. Oh, my God. There'll be so much. There'll be so much ball hanging out from that little tiny strap.
Hey, dude, I bought her so that she could be my Miley for my costume, which I won, and then I've used her for the few bachelor parties that we've gone out on.
I bet you did use her.
That I most definitely did not. That's gross and disgusting. But I've actually never looked at all those extras that came in the box. I guess she can fit a lot of things in her box.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we should talk about comics and not the random blow-up doll that's in the studio that you guys make fun of all the time.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No! You're going to get stuck. You're stuck!
I can never get out of this.
Should I help?
I'm stuck in the Truck Stop Trixie plaid shirt. Call an ambulance.
This is what our listeners tune in for every week.
Do you need help?
I think I do.
You gotta straighten your up. Stop running away from me.
It's a prison of vinyl.
If I wasn't so lazy, I would totally edit all this out, but we're just gonna keep on recording.
I was gonna fit. She's a petite little.
Well, that was fun.
She's a petite piece of trailer trash, apparently.
She's a tiny little thing.
Oh, so we are Drunk on Comics. Tony here with Derek and Linz, and
what up?
Yo. Yeah,
we'll try to pull our heads out of the gutter, and
I really thought I could fit in that shirt. I'm just a little guy.
You know, this totally ties into the book we're reviewing.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Because in the book, which is Pencilhead number one from Ted McKeever, there are some pretty awesome strippers.
There's something
in this book. And, you know, if Truck Stop Trixie gets tired of hanging around in your house,
she would be there.
Do you think she would be the one that was just standing there? Because that was probably my favorite panel in the whole thing. That one's just standing there. She's like this sad woman just, like, standing there topless.
That was some sad, saggy titties. Yes. That was there.
Yes.
I mean, we're jumping right in the middle this book.
It is the best part. Well, there's
a lot of good parts.
That woman definitely violated the weight loss rule that someone told me one time, that if your stomach sticks out farther than your boobs, you have to lose weight.
Ooh.
I know. I was like, I guess that's a rule to live by. So well-endowed women, you just let it go. Let it go.
All right.
It's like a fair rule. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's more fair for girls, I think, than guys. I mean, it doesn't take much for your...
Yeah, I'm
unless
just
you
fat.
Have some big old man titties.
Hey, that first person that came in with the X's on her boobs, she looked really old.
Yep.
So I was thinking this is going to be an old person's, like, strip club. And I also thought that there wasn't going to be really knockers shown because he had X's over those ones. And then, nope. There they are.
She was the waitress. You don't want nipple in your food.
Is that sure?
It's probably a health code thing.
You want milk with your coffee?
One squirt or two.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning.
We digress.
Of the book. So, the art. Let's talk about the art for a second, you guys. What did you think? It's all inks. There's no color in this
book
at all.
It kind of reminded me of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the way it was drawn.
Okay.
Oh, that's what I kept reminiscently thinking of.
Especially with, like, the little monsters. They kept showing up. I was like, this is something I would have read in one of those books as a child that were not for children. Those things were fucked up. But, no, the art in this was really cool, the way it was drawn.
It was. Gritty. Definitely.
Well, it's definitely Ted's style.
Yeah.
And with that, I do love when the main person in the stories is him.
Right.
Like, drawn like him, and
his name's Poodwaddle, though. Yeah.
Which, there's so much with this. Because, well, going into it, the front cover says it is a self, thing of comic book and, like, real life struggles.
It's a comic book about comic books. It's meta.
Yeah. And so with that, of course, you would draw himself, just like the Annuated Man looks like him as well. But, yeah, you have then his name, like, I was giggling, I was laughing at that.
Poodwaddle.
Like, who would name a kid that? Like, what the hell is going on? But, yeah, back to the art, though, really great and gritty.
Which works for this story that he's telling.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see colors in this.
No.
In fact, jumping ahead a little bit, that editor saying, oh, no, it's going to be blue, I don't care, blah, blah. Almost is kind of like how most editors now, so like I said, reflecting the real life place of they're telling their comic book makers, no, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. I wonder if he had people saying, well, I just black and white, let's add a little bit of color in this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I also enjoyed the panel in there with the adding sound effects to the comic.
Oh my god, yes. It was where he opens the book to his free copy of his own book that he wrote that he gets as part of his payment. Which I thought was kind of funny. And he opens it up and there's sound effects just thrown in all over the place.
They're trying to turn a very clearly not superhero comic into a superhero comic to bring people in. And you almost think that something like this probably had to happen to him at some point for that to...
Well, I like because in this book that we're reading, yeah, there's no sound effects. Except for there are but they're in like the sound bubble, the before and after talking about the, or mainly on the train, subway, bus, or whatever.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, yeah, there's really not,
not a whole lot.
No, and it isn't a superhero book, but yet it's a different book because it's, okay, you could have a real life, I'm trying to like think of what one would be right now. I can't really think of a real life scenario type book. This is what it's trying to be, but you have this monster.
Right, it's exaggerated. Him.
Right. Yeah, but like in the realm of reality, is he trying to tell the people that he's crazy? He sees a little ink monster following him around. I mean,
Ted, let's talk. Let's get to the bottom of this.
You want
to
have a TED talk?
Yeah.
I hear they do those all the time.
NPR humor.
So, that's a mystery of the story in and of itself, especially when it shows up towards the end. What is this creature? Is it, as you said, just a nuance in his head of, like, trying to create this book?
Is it like his own personal demons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it something that he has to overcome? Or is it something real that he then... Because I like that he, a lot of stuff is taken on the subway train. Like, I draw this person, it's not like... Things don't come from real life.
Right.
People hate my artwork.
They say it looks weird or not realistic.
And I feel
realistic.
Like that's him really saying that people say that about his work. Because I will say this, I enjoy it, but it's weird.
Right, it's not mainstream at all.
Yeah, and so with that being said, that was almost like a F you to you people. Because look at these people that I'm drawing in this book, I got them out of real life.
Right.
Sitting on this, two people at least. And then having that third person come in, that was way...
Yeah, the crazy Martian guy with the broken clarinet was fantastic.
Three people that I will draw into my new book coming out, and I'm like, that was way meta.
Oh yeah, for sure. There was a lot of, and it was nice because it's definitely getting into the comic book industry and like the struggles that artists have to go through these machines of DC, Marvel, those kind of things.
Well, not only that, but the people that make the decisions being young and not having a clue about the art that the comic book creator is making.
Like the one guy who had just started working at the company
2 months before. Yeah,
he's like, I'm a professional now.
Yeah. And him just, Ted just drawing him up like, yeah, booyah. Like, that's probably how those people feel power hungry. And it's a sad look at reality of the comic book industry, especially from certain people that, I think it was the most powerful panel was that scene of them talking of, and, well, this might be your last check or this and that. Now, granted, I don't see a lot of publishers and editors being that big of dicks. However, the sentiment could be,
yeah,
the sentiment could be there, but the pretty much what he said of what every person resigns to, fine.
Right.
Like,
just need a paycheck. Yep. Just going to do it, bite my lip, and go through the motions.
Yep. This is what I have to do to be in this industry.
This is the grind.
And that totally sucks. So that's why I kind of want to know who took, you know, him up on this comic book to be like, yeah, bash the industry.
Right, because this is from Image, so it's not like it's from like a smaller publisher or even self-published, but Image kind of lets creators and writers do whatever the hell they want.
It's creator-owned, so he can kind of do what he wants, and they're like, cool, let's see where it goes.
They're probably like, this isn't us, we don't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So whatever you want to do, buddy. That's cool.
I also, and even right after that, the panel layout to transition to a new person, who also, it seemed very drawn in not how this storybook was at the beginning. Like, this person, I mean, it's hard to say, because it is black and white, so you can't really say color, you know, heuristics or whatever, if I can say a word that I just made up.
Heuristics,
yeah.
I don't think that's a word. Colorized? But we have a new Tonyism, so
yes.
We'll have to put that
but
on.
You know what I'm saying, though? It looked a little bit more cartoony, I felt, than the McKeever version looking when they show the guy who then steps on.
Oh, the other artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
It looked like it was a different style, whether that's to reflect that it's a different artist, different person, or not. But I felt that it was, he looked different than how the girls were drawn and how, you know, everything else there. It could be, too, that just he has jet black hair and a, you know,
and glasses.
And yeah, and glasses and then, like, a beard, so it kind of covers some of those facial features that Ted McKeever has on a lot of characters.
Right.
But like I said, it made me feel different, but It was just right him stepping on Poodwaddle that I was like, what? Wait, what just happened?
I know.
What was that? And it was, like I said, it was a transition to a new person. I thought then, wait, we're done with this main character?
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
But then we got to what we've already talked about, the favorite scene, which is the strip club.
Where they meet to eat because the food's good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is that ever true about
strip
club?
You know, I've actually heard that strip club breakfast buffets are fantastic.
Yeah.
There's the one here in town that I've heard.
No, they closed down.
Oh, are they closed down?
A lot of my... James has gone multiple times.
Oh, Lady Godiva's? Yeah. Apparently that place had like the most majestic breakfast buffet, which is insane, because I don't know if I'd ever want to eat food from a strip club.
I didn't ever think I would either, but they...
Girls here don't get naked, though, so...
Yeah, we are in the Bible Belt of West Michigan, so you have to drive like 60 miles if you want to see some boobs, which is weird. Otherwise, it's like going to the beach.
Yep, that's bikinis and pasties. Yeah. But regardless of that, yes, there are people that do go to have the smorgasbord... of food. What I do want to say, though, is I found it hilarious and genius and pretty much true for advertising when they talk about, why is there a burger on the crotch?
The crotch burger, yes.
On the crotch of her panties. Well, the boss thought that most people stare there anyways. Why not advertise our burgers? I'm like, that is marketing genius.
It really is.
I think the only thing that could have made that better would have been the split Nick Lachey Twix half panel across her across her crotch.
That would have been, oh man, I forgot all about that horrible decision DC had for like a month and a half. And
then just when he thought I had to bring it back and remind everyone of Nick Lachey and Twix.
No, the crotch burger is something now that I find.
I feel like I need to throw that phrase into random sentences. Crotch burgers? Now, like, just call people crotch burgers.
Well, hey, real life, not life hack thought, secret menu. Steak and Shake has the 7x7 burger. Just learned about this. You have to ask for it. It's not on their menu. But for $7.77, You can get fries and a drink and 7 patties with 7 pieces of cheese.
Ugh.
Saw a picture of someone that recently ordered it after our friends were talking about we could do this.
They stole that from In-N-Out.
It was...
Jack in the Box?
Amazing. Well, In-N-Out has the, like, ultra-secret menu where there's, like, 50 different things that you can order that aren't on there.
That's a lot of burger.
Yeah. That's a lot of, like, that would close, like, a single artery.
Yeah.
Just that one burger. So. Just be like,
so I have one artery left, so...
All right. Go get that. Yeah. Okay. So the strippers. Yeah. The strippers in here, as we said before, are...
Oh, I thought you were going to go on a tangent about burgers.
No.
Oh.
I was just saying I like that phrase, crotch burger.
Oh. Well, at least we're not talking about, like, crotch roast beef sandwiches.
Oh. Even now, you ruined crotch burger
for
me.
I'm sorry. You just ruined your life.
Now that transition
the crotch burger from Arby's.
Oh, God.
It's a good. There's a good chance you might already be getting that. But So the strippers in here are hilarious, and they're obviously not, like...
Oh, I love the jumping
jacks. Yeah, they're doing
What's
jumping jacks.
What's that
person doing? One's just standing on her head. The other one's just standing there.
Like he's sad?
Yes.
Which is pretty much what I imagine all strippers actually feel
and
like.
And the jumping jack girl, like, he animates the boobs. They're, like, up and down when she's jumping.
Yeah, it made it feel real. I was really brought into the panel seeing that.
Right? Well, that's where they should be if you're jumping.
Speaking of strippers, and slightly off topic, but it made me laugh. Yesterday, I was driving back from... South Bend, and I heard that was it City High song that "What Would You Do If Your Son Was At Home?" And I was like, "Oh my god!" I forgot how awkward that song is when you're actually listening to. I know, just random thought, but kind of applied here.
So, I don't feel like it did, but okay.
Hey man,
is that your stripper song?
It was a song about a stripper doing crack and lap dancing people because she has to pay for her babies.
His stripper song, "What Would You Do If Your Son Was At Home?" It comes on.
Crying all around. It's a song about a stripper venting about how terrible her life is.
Well, here's the thing that all of a sudden, so we're seeing this kind of meta, what it's like to draw comics and everything. Then we get to some funny panels of the strippers and everything. Then we get a death scene?
Yes. Oh, my
gosh. And now they're on the run?
So...
It took a turn.
They're talking, and Poodwaddle, like, hits the other guy's burger, and it goes flying, and a piece, just a tiny little piece of burger, just falls into the stripper's mouth, who's standing on her head.
And she dies immediately.
And she chokes and dies. Her name was Bombina, by the way, which is hilarious. But, yeah, she dies immediately, and they take off. That's an accident. Why would you leave?
Yeah, that's what I felt like. Their reaction is really...
Yeah.
And even then when the cops show up and one of them's like, it's murder, and the other one's like, I don't think it is.
Strippers choke on things pretty frequently.
You know, by experience?
No, I've never been a stripper, but...
Okay, then. Well, still going to
bite my
it.
Lip.
I'm like, is this drawing on, like, a real-life event, though, that he had? Like, I'm kind of trying to wonder where the parallel between fiction and, you know, nonfiction is happening within this book, and why we have this part of the story. Like, what does this...
have to do with the comic book industry, first of all? And,
I mean, I guess it does go back to the beginning of the book, or the front page, where it talks about a stripper, or whatever.
Oh, on the
and a dead
on
stripper
the
and everything.
Cover, yeah.
Hamburgers and... So, like... He really did kind of write what exactly was in this, and when you're reading that, you don't get it.
Right.
What the hell does a hamburger artist, a dead stripper, have to do? Oh, now we know.
What do these things all have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like he's trying to pull it all together. So then you get the train scene with all the fucked up characters.
Which is pretty much what you see in, like, a New York City subway.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's pretty... So, it really... I mean, when he says, I draw from real life, like, these people are based on real people. I've seen weird-ass people in Grand Rapids. We don't have a subway here. You just gotta look out on the street. I imagine New York City is 10 times.
Freak Show Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that the two artists talk about, you know, leaving one place, go to the other.
Like, the other guy was doing a... He was starting a publishing company or something like
and
that.
And it's...
Yeah.
I'm like... And I... Us knowing artists and friends and stuff, I mean... A lot of them are loyal to their place, but, I mean, opportunities go. You're a freelance artist. You're not contractually obligated to be at a place.
Right.
You kind of need to shop around to get the best for yourself. But it sometimes can leave fans not knowing the editorial, like, this is fucking up this book and everything. You still love this artist. You want to have the series go on. Kind of the one dude tells Podwaddle, just end it. You know, give them your final, then you'll be done there, and then go on. Which is good that at least there would be an ending.
Right.
However, some people won't be satisfied with an abrupt ending. You want the creator to get to that ending naturally. I do love a lot of miniseries that have come out recently from artists and creators because they had a vision of, I want this to be completed. It's cool when sometimes it gets picked up because you love this world that they got into. Right. But sometimes things can go on and on to where you're kind of like,
this should have ended a long time
ago. And then there's others that like just are great, though, that you can continually reading. Saga being one of them.
Right.
But even I would say Walking Dead at points, I kind of feel like we're retreading the story arc from 2 years ago or so. I mean,
it's like All Out War Part 3.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of get a little like, let's do something drastically different. Not just killing a main character, because we know that can be done, talking about Walking Dead specifically, but like, maybe there it's time to stop it.
Right.
Spawn, they just had kind of a reboot of what they did, and for phenomenal effect. At one point, some people might say, maybe we just need to shut this down, but it seemed like they got some creative juices, let's go back. So kind of to even go off tangent from this book, it got me thinking of other people that may have left their work to dissatisfying, you know, fan, you know, reaction.
But for their own benefit.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, and you can't really blame them.
No, because, I mean, we don't think about that as fans a lot of time. We read it and we're like, well, that sucks.
Why are you doing this,
why?
Asshole?
They left. They left
why
me
Why
are
you
hanging?
Ruining a good thing?
Yep. But
but, yeah, it ends with the monsters, the demons following him. We still don't know what's going to go on with the cop and chasing him.
The cop that needs a booster seat, by the way, which I thought was hilarious, but.
Well, each character is a unique individual, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it was definitely going into it knowing that it was kind of about those things on the front cover, but then really reading, it was a trip.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yes.
For sure.
Now, speaking of people, like, leaving, and for their own reasons, I guess, like we were talking about before the show.
You're quitting? No.
Yes, I'm out. Peace, bitches. No, we were talking about that whole Scott Snyder leaving the main run Batman comic, which is DC's number one title pretty much right now. And he's going over to Detective Comics after number 50.
To make it great.
Yes, hopefully. And then Batman, apparently, when they're doing that whole DC reboot, which we were also going to talk about, unfortunately, Batman's going to be bi-monthly. What do you guys think about that?
So every other month?
Yes.
You're sure?
Or twice a month.
Yeah, because that's...
Is that...
Me and old Derek got in huge, like, that arguments amongst each other, but about the publishing industry, stop saying that word because it confuses people. I was jokingly saying every other month, knowing, though, that it was supposed to be that.
I think it's twice a month.
But now
it
seems like you thought it was.
No, like, the way I read it, it seemed like it was going to be an every other month kind of thing, and they were going to do Detective Comics as their every month. But maybe they're going to do it twice a month, but then they're pretty much in Batman Eternal mode, which is every week.
Well,
so, why?
Yeah.
That would only be 6 issues a year every other month.
I know. I guess if, the way you're saying it, it seems to make a little bit more sense because that's their cash cow, but they haven't really announced anyone who's going to take it over yet. But yeah, Scott Snyder's going back to Detective Comics.
But I do hate bi-monthly.
I do too.
The part where they're 2 a month. It can be great sometimes. Like, I've back in the day, I was like, oh, I got a new issue of this. I didn't know they were coming out with it this early. But then now it's like my wallet can't afford this.
No, yeah.
And I honestly, not to name names of publishers, big two, that I feel like the stories have suffered. I mean, the art still seems to be on point for what they are trying to do, but the...
I feel like you don't have the time to polish in 2 weeks that you would in a month.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem, and I know they just want money.
The only time I've ever really gotten behind, like, even a weekly comic is when they did 52 way back in the day, when they had one coming out every week. But I think that was written and drawn by other, like each storyline within it had different artists and writers, so it wasn't
even
like
then though that was something that they that was their title that they were doing of that,
right.
And that is cool, that is their thing, but it's not because we already have 20 Batman books,
right.
We have 20
they're
Deadpool books
flooding the market.
We don't need flooding the market. That's exactly what they're doing, and then having 10 of them out each month.
You know, now I kind of see why Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo wanted to leave this comic, since they're both leaving after issue 50.
Oh.
They probably saw the writing on the wall, and they told them this was going to happen, and they said, no. That's not going to happen. Nah. I want no part of that.
Too much. First of all, Scott Snyder's got a ton of shit going
they
on.
They both do a bunch of shit. I mean, how can you keep up with it?
Right.
Every other week, you're supposed to put something out that's quality. That's rough on top of your other obligations.
Here's something funny, because Zack Snyder does the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone that I was talking to, they're talking about the X-Men movie coming up, and they're like, but doesn't that guy, he write Batman books? And I go, different Snyder.
Yes.
I was like, I forgive you, young Padawan, you are not, trained in the nerd force, but...
Kind of like your cousin Adam McKay, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so going back to what you're saying, though.
Oh, I was done with my thought.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay then.
I don't remember.
Well, let's segue this into talking about DC rebooting again.
Yeah, that's okay. That's where I thought we were going.
Well, I mean, see, I interrupted you with this random tangent about the Snyder.
There was no interruption.
You just broke her mind in the process. So, yeah, DC is going Marvel.
They're rebooting again.
Well, I mean, here's the one thing I can't blame them in seeing the success that they had along with keeping continuity, but I don't feel that DC's at a point where their storylines are that convoluted like they used to be.
New 52, it hasn't been that long. I mean...
Well, it's not even... Well, it's been 5 years.
They just rebooted everything after Convergence, didn't they?
They did, yes.
And that's the problem.
Like, I'm on Black Canary number 5.
No, yeah. Well, Convergence was supposed to fix the things that happened in Flashpoint to help appease, old-time fans. But even then, now, what is this event going to... What's it going to do?
I think what they're trying to do I remember right reading the article, is that they want to get the comics kind of tied in more with the movies. And I know.
Nobody can see that face,
but you guys. It was the most disgusted face ever, but...
I could honestly... Well, Jason Momoa, who's going to be Aquaman.
Momoa? Yes. Not Samoa. That's type of Girl Scout
cookie. I think he's... Well, it's also what The Rock is.
Yes,
he's
Samoan.
Okay. He looks nothing like Aquaman right now.
No.
Blonde hair, whatever.
Yeah.
Are they going to then align his movie character to look like this now? I mean, there are some key differences from the movies.
That's what I was thinking. They're trying to get all the stuff to be alliance. People are going to be... They want people probably to jump from their crap-fest movie, like Batman vs. Superman looks like, and I'm praying it isn't. But I'm sure they want people to relate from that to see what's in the comics.
Oh, and they're going to have the new Superman from this, new rebooting have killed a person.
Right.
Which I feel like in the comic books, he has to have accidentally killed a person. There's no way that...
Yeah, I would imagine.
Let's think about Man of Steel. How many buildings fell down there? How many people did he kill doing that?
There's many people that, died during that. And I still... The people that are pissed off about that, I feel, don't understand real-life scenarios that are fictional. Like, Superman was in a spot to where Zod pretty much said, I am going to do this.
Come get it.
You need to either kill me or not. Faced with a choice, it's like almost like I am an atomic bomb. You can turn me on or off, but your choice. People don't have a problem with him turning off an atomic bomb that will wipe out humanity, but we do because this person had a beating heart. Are you really thinking, or are you saying that it all of a sudden killed Superman's vibe? Sorry, Superman's vibe is peace, love, and kindness. It was kind of in the 70s. We're in the real world now.
Right. Well,
he's been a lot more dickish lately.
Well,
he's copying from kind of the movie.
We're totally going off on a total another tangent here. But Superman in Man of Steel was new to his powers. He doesn't know what he's doing. Of course he destroyed an entire city. He doesn't know how to not destroy an entire city. He has immense strength. If I all of a sudden had immense strength and could fly, I would probably destroy a city too. Fighting somebody, so there you have it. No, you don't agree with that.
I don't know. Yes, I do. I just...
Are you one of the people that are pissed that he did?
No, I was happy he did because it made him less of a pussy.
Yes, exactly.
High five. Superman is one of my least favorite characters in DC
because he's always
so granola, like just.
It seems like his powers to beat him or his weaknesses come out of nowhere that seem very weak, because at other times he can just destroy with a thought.
And they also, it was like their catch-all, like, oh, we need a way to write our way out of this. Let's make up a new power for Superman, the person that's been around for 70 years or whatever. Yeah. It's always been a problem in my head. I don't like someone that they can just conveniently make new things up. You know, you can lose every now and again. It's fine.
Right, which is, I think, why, like, the way he is right now, he's depowered, right?
He's pretty much depowered. Yeah. They're trying to get to the point where he's getting his power back. Like, right now, in the last issue I think it was Action Comics, he has a suit that gives him all his power back, but it's powered by kryptonite, so it's, like, killing him at the same time.
Oh. Here's the one thing I think the reboot might help with at DC, because although you can have Deadpool in 50 different comic books, and you can have Superman in as many as well, and Batman, at least with the Marvel, what they're doing is, Deadpool, they've made the in-joke of the universe of he's rich with selling his merchandise. He's on one of the Avengers teams. They talk about he runs with that. In the new Cable and Deadpool, or Deadpool and Cable, split second in time, he even brings that up. This person is the same person in those books. Now he's doing a side mission with Cable here, whatever.
Right.
It's the same Deadpool. Logan, he's dead in all the books still. That's what happened to Wolverine. In one version of Superman, he's lost his powers. In Justice League, he's Nega Superman.
But in Justice League of America, he's old school Superman. Yeah. They have so many split, like, right, universes. I know.
Which is what Convergence was supposed to stop.
But it didn't.
But here's the thing. If they had at least the taglines of their books of this is Earth 1, these fall in the Earth 1 books, you could at least know this is going on here. But I personally don't know sometimes where is this Batman going. Like, you know, Batman's dead.
Yeah.
Like, or whatever, and we got the rabbit-eared, you know.
Chappy Bat.
Yeah. It does look like Chappy.
The Brabbit.
Yeah. We have that going on, but then, you know, we have sitting at a desk, your chair, Batman.
Right, yes.
And which one is the main one? Which one is it that I've read for a while? I'm royally confused, and I don't think DC has a clear cohesiveness of what's going on with their properties. Marvel had their universes, but it was Age of Apocalypse. You knew shit's fucked up, it's Age of Apocalypse. The Ultimate Universe, different than the 616 universe.
Right.
What's going on with, and that would be the only reason why I'd be okay with DC. Otherwise, there's no reason to reboot, but I don't even think this is what they're going to do. They're just making number ones to make number ones.
Exactly, which they seem to like doing. I mean, even...
Yeah. Even although I think it's funny, because I think we talked about a couple months back, was it Dan DiDio? He was like, no more number ones for a really long time, you guys. We're not going to do it.
JK.
Just kidding, we're doing it in June now.
At least when Marvel...
Well, maybe when he said it, he goes, no more this year.
Right. He said that in December.
At least when like Marvel did it, some of the comics made fun of it. Like Squirrel Girl was like, our second number one this year!
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, and at least they can make fun of it, which... I don't know, I guess kind of makes it a little bit okay. But what we were saying of lining up with the movies, though, is another reason why 100% that's what they're trying to do. And even comic books now, Marvel side, because really when it comes down to this, the Walking Dead TV show is different than the Walking Dead book.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them have kind of said they don't need to be 100% similar. We want to have new surprises, new characters.
Right.
The Game of Thrones, the books are different than the TV show. As long as you kind of just put that out there to not piss off both fanboys of the series or the books, you can save a world of trouble with it doesn't need to be exact.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is you don't need to be exact from your movies to this, but for some reason, whoever they're looking at the editor-in-chief in the pencil head making these decisions that they don't need to. So one of the things that's happening, which is I can 100% guarantee you is a direct effect of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is Steve Rogers is back.
Yes.
And not back as in, because he's been around, he's been old man Rogers for, I want to say it's been at least a year, but I don't even think it's been at least a year. I think it was summer.
I feel like, what's his name? Sam.
Sam Wilson's been.
Yeah, he's been Captain America since like 2014, I feel like.
No, I feel like it was just.
No, the new Sam Wilson Captain America thing was in the Marvel reboot recently when he actually became, like, on his own title as Captain America.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of January of last year.
Yeah, I think he was kind of assuming the mantle once Steve Rogers got old because Steve Rogers couldn't do anything.
But when did Steve Rogers get old, though?
I'd have to look it up again.
2014.
Okay. So it's been, okay, a little over a year.
Yeah.
Because all that happened, Thor, what was the other big thing that the three big titles that changed? And Superior...
Iron Man.
So, yeah, and I know those went to a couple of shows. Yeah, so it was about a year ago, over a year ago then. Still, listen to that, a little over a year ago. That's how short of a time that we can have things be gone and stay gone.
I'm surprised they haven't just pried Logan out of the adamantium pile yet.
For real, he's probably, his cells are regrown in this thing. He's just in a shell.
Stuck in it.
Being pissed of, like, I can hear everything, I can't see anything, what the fuck, and he's... Somewhere on the school grounds.
I was going to say, where do you think he is? Do you think they just stuck it somewhere? He's just getting shit on by birds,
like in a fountain.
But anyway, so yeah, Captain America coming back.
But that doesn't necessarily mean, though, that Sam Wilson won't be Captain America as well. And there have been times where there's been two Captain-type people, going back to the 70s and 80s as well, where Captain went off into secret missions. I can't remember what it was. Captain Liberty, or like there's a couple different name changes for some people. With that's gonna happen now, but I 100% think it's because of the Civil War movie. You can't have a Captain America movie and then people reading the comic book saying, wait,
right,
why is this black man cat called Captain America? Why is this Steve Rogers person really old? And I feel like we get it. We're adults.
Exactly.
We understand that. We don't need to be conformed to the same thing.
No, right. They think we're stupid, maybe. Yeah. You know?
Or just the creativity is gone.
Right.
Rushing all these products out so quickly. Here's the one thing that I think Secret Wars did do well. They delayed it and let it go a little bit longer than it needed to, so it wasn't crammed into 2 months. Kudos on that, even though you could have rushed it a little bit more than you did.
Yeah, I mean, the ending was cool, but I think that would have been better to have out before all the reboots. Like, I know they wanted to get all that stuff out and get it started in October again, but I think if that ninth issue had come out beforehand, it would have made things stronger, because it wouldn't have been just this confusing clusterfuck of comics with no one knowing what's going on and having to wait an extra, like, 2 months to find out.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we know Steve Rogers is coming back in the comic books.
Yes.
For their what's the big event coming up soon?
Avengers standoff.
No, well,
Civil War.
Okay, standoff is to get into the Civil War. Yeah. Standoff is their spring event, but right when the movie comes out, they're going to have another Civil War. Yeah.
Civil War
with Captain Marvel.
We've talked about it multiple times of, like, our thoughts on this, so we don't need to read to rehash of them doing another Civil War to tie in with the movie. But one of the big things is that they said is someone's going to be dead.
Right.
So who's going to be dead? And then they also said dead no more, so someone's going to come back to life. If they're killing off someone, my thought is it's Quicksilver in the comic book world. They already killed him off on the big screen. That would perfectly make sense. They can't kill Captain America again.
They should kill Bucky.
They killed Captain America in the original, but see, Bucky's recently come back too, and that just doesn't seem... It's got to be someone
that
either...
That's what make it so great, though.
You just think the reason they want to kill Quicksilver is to give Fox another fuck you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense. I mean, they got to align the universes, and I really... Speculating on these things, we could probably be really digging farther to figure it out. I really don't care. I want to be a little bit surprised,
right,
but when
it
comes down to it, I'm not.
No.
No.
Everything is formulaic, and I know exactly where it's going. One thing that surprised me, though, was Darkwing Duck was coming back.
Oh, my God. Okay, yes.
Let's get dangerous.
Oh, I've been humming the tune all week.
Darkwing Duck.
My brother told me about it, and we started going back to Disney afternoons, getting home from school, watching these. I mean, back then...
Darkwing Duck. What was it? Tailspin?
Tailspin.
Yes.
The original... Oh, shoot.
Chippendales Rescue Rangers?
Yes.
Is that...
Yes.
The original lineup... Jeez. Oh, I know. Gummy Bears. Gummy Bears, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, because there's four shows. Then it was DuckTales was always a prime one, and then Darkwing Duck. But that wasn't the first. Do you remember when they debuted? They debuted like on an evening,
yeah.
And there was like always like a live action dance or something that went with it. Tailspin was one of them that debuted. I remember that debuted because it was my birthday and we were watching it at my birthday party back in the day. All those shows were great.
Amazing, yeah.
And Darkwing Duck being there, it was, Lampooning kind of Batman.
Yes.
Yep. 100%. It was great.
I recently started rewatching it, actually, because I wanted to introduce my child to Darkwing Duck. And at first he was like, this is stupid, Mom. And then, like, three episodes in, he's like, let's watch another one.
Well, I love that they was their fearsome foursome that they always had. What was it that his bad guys were called? But
oh, geez, I don't,
because I know there was Aqua Duck, there was Megavolt, there was Negaduck.
Yep,
who was the leader? Who was there? Was Sandman? I think there was a Sand one. That's confusing. But then the Darkwing Duck had his superheroes. He had his girlfriend that was the witch person. Gizmo Duck came from DuckTales to join in his group.
Launchpad McQuack.
Well, he was always there as a sidekick.
Because then he went on a Tailspin, right? Yeah? Or was that Tailspin? Was he on Tailspin?
No, Tailspin was Baloo in the Creatures of the Jungle Book.
I thought Launchpad McQuack was also
on Tailspin. different universes, but...
I don't know.
That's right, it was Jungle Book people.
Yeah. You just now realize that?
Yeah.
Shere Khan was the leader.
Shit!
What's his name? The monkey guy had his... Louis in there?
Baloo. I only now realize this. This epiphany has
been... Oh, man.
I am dumb.
No, but, yeah.
Where, like, were we going with this?
I don't know. We're just reminiscing about the awesomeness. But then later on, some things that came to Disney Afternoon, which some of them were hit or miss. You had Gargoyles.
Gargoyles is pretty sweet.
Oh, that was a great one.
And this is for anyone that wasn't in the 90s or young enough in the 90s or old enough. Like, you had to have that window where you really enjoyed these 90s cartoons, so people like our age, the Disney Afternoon was awesome. So I'd hope they bring even more shows back, but with Darkwing Duck, they've already started DuckTales comic books coming back now.
Yes.
So with that being said, I'd love to see maybe Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Those were always, like, awesomeness.
Did you ever play the Chippendales Rescue Rangers original Nintendo game?
No, but have you ever played the DuckTales one?
DuckTales is the best game.
I have played DuckTales. They re-released it for, like, Wii U and a few other systems, and it was amazing.
I played it. It's hard as fuck, though.
Uncle Scrooge!
Like, those games back in the day, wow. Goof Troop was part of them. Oh, yeah, Aladdin came out. Bonkers. Man.
We know what Tony's doing for the rest of the day.
We'll be looking up all these shows. But so yeah, so that's a kind of awesomeness.
It would be nice if it came back as an animated series. I could get into that.
Even if you just put it on, like, Netflix or something.
Yeah. We already have something to look forward to on Netflix.
What's that?
Dread.
What are you dreading? You said you got something to look forward to?
Not dreading anything. I'm super excited about Judge Dredd. Coming.
Why you gotta judge things?
I hate you.
Do you dread me?
I do. I dread you, Tony. But no, they're bringing Judge Dredd to Netflix.
Yeah, this is the other property that I'm very excited for, which is a total 180 from the cartoonage.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this is very adult.
This is not for children.
No, it's not. Yeah, Netflix has recently come out and said that they're gonna have a 13-episode miniseries event, which... It looks like then it's not going to be...
It's like a half season.
No, most of Netflix's shows are 13 episodes. 13? But with that being said, though, it looks like it's not necessarily going to be an ongoing thing. Mm. So you know that this is going to have a beginning, middle, and end, which would be great for a Dredd-type, like the comic books. Not everything, you know, happens this and that.
Right.
But it could be picked up for more goes great. And I 100% know the people that after the latest Dredd movie... are looking forward to this.
Yes, including the people who were in the Dredd movie.
Yes, because they are all going to be coming back. All the Dredd movies.
Yep, because we got Carl Urban, who was amazing.
He has that scowl down pat.
You know, it says a lot of when a guy can act through that costume.
In that face.
Yeah, it was great. But we also have...
I just love that Olivia Thirlby is going to come back as Judge Anderson.
Yes.
So, That would be awesome. But Chief Judge is going to be Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
And that casting news, he was a terrible Judge Dredd.
Yes.
I did not like that Dredd movie at all. Did not embody who Dredd was.
No,
I've heard about production problems and this and that, and other people thinking this needed to happen within the movie. But if we could just pretend that movie didn't happen,
right?
I'm okay with him if he's following now this new new feeling of this newer movie,
right?
Dredd.
As long as Rob Schneider isn't in this, yeah. I'll be very happy.
Well, we got Tom Hiddleston who's gonna be the villain. It sounds like
just kind of what he does,
Loki.
Kind of what he does. Kind of typecast.
So that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I really enjoyed Dredd. The comic book is great. I think they just relaunched Dredd as a comic book. Like, the new number one came out a couple weeks ago, I think.
Oh.
So.
Well, yeah, Dredd's been going on for a while now.
Yeah.
It's very popular in Australia.
England, where it originated, too. Yeah. So.
I
just figured Australia, because it was a prison colony originally. I figured it's kind of like their type hero. They just like that kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Law and Order.
I am the law.
Give me some more people's. Oh, there are going to be more people dressing up as Dredd now at cons if this comes up. That'd be awesome, because you'll be hearing that all the time.
As long as we can, decrease the amount of Harley Quinns and Deadpools and, like, increase the amount of Judge Dredds, I'll be happy.
I'm okay with more Harley Quinns. I mean...
You just like bodysuits, you freak.
I think he likes the newer version of Harley Quinn more than the...
Booty short Harley Quinn?
Yeah. More than the full bodysuit ones.
I just like my women pale, dead white.
Oh, I don't know what to say about that.
I'm
gonna
leave.
Oh yeah, Trixie. Okay.
Yeah. Trying to do a callback to an earlier joke that we were having, but you guys totally failed and missed that.
No, I went to a really dark place when you said that.
Nope. So did I.
All right, let's do something fun then.
All right.
Something that I've wanted to do since the inception of this podcast was to come up with just some scenarios, some thoughts, some fights. Many different things to discuss and come up with a winner.
This is pretty much the game Super Fight, and it's awesome.
Yes. And first two people that I was thinking that are predominantly geniuses, I mean, that and their superpower is unlimited money, the Battle of the Billionaires, Tony Stark versus Bruce Wayne, Iron Man versus Batman. We've done some research, we know some things about both these characters, and we're going to try to figure out who would actually win in a fight. Derek, what do you got going for it?
Do we have an exact scenario, like a locale that the fight is going to be in? Or are we just doing, like, basics to start off with?
Well, see, here's the thing. When it comes down to a fight between these two, I want to say that they would have their basic of knowledge. At least they're in the same city. So let's say they know of each other. But when the fight happens, it could just all of a sudden one of them snuck up on the other. Because if we look at it as a world where Batman has no clue who Iron Man is, Batman's pretty much dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, Iron Man could just repulse or blast him. He's done. Same scenario where if Iron Man doesn't know who Batman is, Batman could sneak in. Even then, though, to not tip my hand of where I feel, but it also is going to say I feel like Iron Man would have some precautionary things against that. If we go to where... And we also have to see the type of Batman. As we talked earlier, there's a Batman and Detective, there's a Batman and Batman and Justice League.
Batmans.
If you really look at the type of people that Batman can fight in each of these different comic books, his power level goes up and down effectively. When he's with Superman and Wonder Woman, he effectively has superhuman strength and speed.
Right.
Where does that come from? I don't know, because then in other books he can get beat up by some common criminals. So, what factor of power does he have? Which is also kind of a thing where, hey, Tony Stark's always Tony Stark. He's a rich billionaire asshole. Batman seems to have his writers give him superpower strength. So, what Batman always has, though, is his...
preparation.
Yeah, his plan Bs. And I want to say that I would give him a couple plan Bs. So he will have a little bit of preparedness. But if he's not prepared for where he wants to fight Iron Man...
I don't think that would ever be the case. I really just don't. I think, like, Batman is too paranoid just in general, ever since his inception.
Like Tower of Babel, Justice League
super paranoid. If we're in a situation where, like, they say they exist in the same plane. Like, one's not hopping over to another property. And surprise, I'm here, you know nothing about me. Like, if we're doing an even playing field and Batman knows about Iron Man and Iron Man knows about Batman, Tony Stark, everybody knows he's Iron Man, right?
Yep.
He is out and proud about that. Bruce Wayne, not everybody knows Bruce Wayne is Batman. That's a secret. So that gives Batman the opportunity to totally 100% just do all kinds of research on Iron Man.
Well, one thing I want to quick... No, I'll go to your point right now to negate that. I guess I'm going to be the Iron Man person here, and you're obviously the Batman person.
I guess I'm the neutral ground.
Yeah, I guess you might be
like
the neutral
Switzerland.
Ground.
All right.
I was trying to be neutral to even... I'm going to give Batman a few more, even in this scenario, some more bigger guns to go with, but even then I feel he'd fail. Iron Man, Tony Stark, is one of the smartest geniuses within the Marvel Universe. Batman is smart, but his intelligence, I don't think, comes close to Tony's. With that being said, sure, I think there could be a way where if Batman had some preparedness, he could hack into some systems. I don't think he can hack into Tony Stark's systems, to be 100% honest. With as many safeguards that Tony has, Jarvis, and then Friday, now his suit computer, I don't think Batman's getting anywhere close to him. When you look at the many bad guys within the Marvel Universe that have tried and have failed, I don't think Batman's intelligence goes up to that level. With that being said, I think Tony could figure out who Batman is. He could follow the breadcrumbs of, why does Wayne Industry keep giving to this, or, you know, these mysterious projects. Tony Stark deals in arms trading weaponry.
Right.
Some of his weapons may be going to Wayne Tech Enterprises for his commissioning on the Tumblr and all that, if it's the same world, would probably be happening. They would know of each other if it was the same world, because they are both billionaires and they'd
right.
be at
they'd
the
totally
Playboy
be in the
Mansion.
Circles. Yeah.
So to kind of give the reason why, let's say that they're fighting over a girl then or something, because
it's Pepper.
Yeah.
Okay.
They both seem to like redheads a little
bit. Here are some concerns and thoughts I have on both sides. One, if it's Marvel Universe, I feel like technology greatly benefits Tony Stark a lot more than it does Batman in the DC Universe, because it seems like Victor Von Doom and Reed Richards just have so much better access to technology and things of that nature that are almost like supernatural than in the DC universe with, like, I don't know, even say Brainiac or Lex Luthor. I just don't feel like Batman has an even playing field in that when it comes to technology. Now, that said, Batman lately has been developing suits to use and has used one to effectively defeat Superman through preparation. I think that's a big thing. I think with preparation time, Batman can beat pretty much anyone because he will contingency everything to a T.
But I don't think it was just the suit that beat Superman. It was having a magic rock.
Yep.
And Tony Stark isn't, you know, immune to magic.
But he
space
does
rocks.
Have reliance on an arc reactor, which I think Batman could
That's
find
true.
A way to power down.
Power down how?
I don't know.
Well, that would be
for that'd be
out.
Something for Batman to figure out. He always has a contingency. He had a plan to kill everyone in the Justice League if that ever happened. And when it got out, pretty much everyone got defeated.
Yeah, he had that whole surveillance system that he set up to watch pretty much everybody on the world that ended up turning sentient. And
Olmec,
yeah.
Yep.
But
I don't feel, though, that his AI is as intelligent as... I mean, we'll go even the Marvel Universe, where Jarvis was still within the Ultron AI and was able to circumvent that to block him out from the internet and everything as well. You don't think Jarvis could easily hack into the Batmobile and shut down all of Batman's, you know, radio signals for whatever he's doing with Olmec? I think so. Some arguments that people have that are on the Batman camp are, an EMP, that would shut down a suit. Too bad that all of Tony Stark's suits now are EMP-proof.
Right.
His earlier models, which if it was his earlier models, yeah, I think Batman could probably win then. In a fist-to-fist fight between Bruce and Tony, yeah, Batman's got the ninjutsu stuff going.
Oh,
but
yeah, he would. If this was a bare-knuckles fist fight between the two, Bruce Wayne would kick Tony's ass.
We need to give Batman the gadgets. We will give him the superpower of being prepared, but even in just being prepared and having a plan B or C, Tony still is outsmart to also have a plan D, if you know what I mean, and win the girl.
Here's the other thing I have. Batman, even in his suits, can't take the kind of damage Tony Stark's Iron Man suits can.
And, well...
I mean, you know, he had his back broke and still came back from that.
But it wasn't, like, immediately. It wasn't like, cool, here I am.
Let's even say the suit that, you know, that he beat Superman with, whatever. That's a huge suit.
That's, like, not going to hold up to a Hulkbuster suit, though. Exactly. That thing's fucking huge.
Yeah. As well as, which Tony has done in a couple of comic books, and they've kind of shown other places. Well, he has his legion of suits that can all be ranked. That's not a fair fight in and of itself, of having the suits just battling there with them and all the plasma guns pointed. But if one of his suits is damaged or whatever, calls up another suit and can get into it.
I think if Batman were just fighting, like, Mark V suit Tony Stark with no other access to things, he would defeat him with a plan. He would find some way to do that. Maybe it was, like, 90s Tony Stark, and he just throws in the bottle, and he gets him fucking hammered, and he, like, drinks himself to death.
Right, but he just gets totally drunk and then beats his ass.
I think if it were one-on-one, one suit, and Batman had the ability to prepare for it, he would win, because he would know. But if, like, Tony Stark's full access to technology and him preparing equally and having the ability to customize a suit that Batman may not know about, I think Tony Stark's going to win that.
I still... I'm going to say there's some scenarios where Batman could win, but I want to say 7 out of 10. Maybe I'll give 6 out of 10. It's still going to go to Iron Man.
I think so, just on sheer technology alone in the Marvel Universe. I think that gives him the benefit. And I am a big Batman person.
I think you guys are downplaying. I mean, there's a lot of technology in the DC Universe. You have just the entire camp of scientists that everyone always seems to forget about. And you have, like, the Metal Men. Oh. And you have Red Tornado.
Are we going to start adding in friends?
Well, no, Super but we're talking like about Richards we're and... talking about technology, and like there's none in the.
I just feel I just feel the Marvel technology from like Doctor Doom and Reed Richards with all that genius there. It's just they seem to have a next level amount of technology in the Marvel Universe than DC does. DC seems a little bit more grounded, and I mean they're still crazy shit, but I think it is not as like ridiculous and overpowered as some of. Of the there's no like what ultimate nullifier or whatever in DC that
well this discussion definitely turned pretty civil. I thought it'd be a little thought it was gonna be a little more bashing of like yo no this and that
but fuck you and Iron Man you piece of shit.
We kind
of
came to a conclusion here. I know that fans out there in the internosphere
people get heated about these things for
and this is one of them that has been because Battle of Billions, like people have thought about this left and right.
Right.
If you don't agree with us, get a hold of us on Twitter, email us, tell us on Facebook that we're wrong. But I'm sticking by my decision, and
you're still Team Iron Man.
Yep.
I think next week's one, just off the top of my head, I think we should have one next week. How about we do Darkseid versus Thanos?
Oh, I've definitely been thinking of that. Maybe next week. I know that this is something that we're going to start throwing in every now and then because this was fucking fun.
It was. So if you have suggestions, again, get a hold of us on Twitter, Drunk on Comics, Facebook, Drunk on Comics, email, drunkoncomics@gmail.com.
Maybe we should call this Bar Fights.
Good call.
High five on that one.
I love how we always have to resolve around something beer or bar related for our segments, but that works for me. Well, let's round out this show with booze and a book.
Yes, booze and a book this week. I picked up Fuck Fairyland, also known as I Hate Fairyland.
So the official title is I Hate Fairyland, but yet I love that there are variant copies that say Fuck Fairyland.
I love it.
Which apparently parents hate, which I find amazing.
I went into the, when the issue number one came out, I went to my comic book store, and the guy working there was like, I wish they wouldn't have done that. And I'm like, it's awesome, I'm buying it. And he's like, parents. And I'm like, fuck parents.
Fuck me, right?
So we're pairing this week with
Bell's Hop Slam, as it just came out this week. The lovely super hoppy double IPA brewed with honey. Now, you'd think from name alone that it would be sweet.
Right, because of the honey.
Yep.
Not.
No, case. It's bitter as fuck.
Yes. And so I Hate Fairyland, super sweet looking, lots of pretty colors. It's, you know, like your typical Alice in Wonderland looking book, but it is not it that is. At all. You get into that, it's just full of gore and all kinds of violence. And so, you know, it's got that sweet little cover to it with the bitter inside.
Yep.
All right. Well, any final words from anyone? No.
You know, I was out yesterday with my kid, and we were in a restaurant, and this girl, she was probably about 20, 21, comes in with this homeless guy, And she buys him food, and she buys him, like, a $25 gift certificate so he can keep coming back and getting food. And my kid was like, that's the nicest thing I've ever seen. And at first I was like, that's really sad that this is the nicest thing he's ever seen, and he's 13. But I was also really happy that he got to see it, because it's really nice to be able to prove to people that even though we hear a bunch of shitty stuff happening every day, there's still just really nice things that happen in this world. And maybe we need to focus on those.
Awesome. Well, with that, friends, stay thirsty for reboots.